Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, so very blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And the word to God gave us this morning is make disciples in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We have been given assignment to make disciples. Are you making disciples today? Are you lifting up the name of Jesus today? Are you giving someone a happy, wonderful smile today? Are you just trusting in the Lord today? The disciples had an assignment. The apostles had an assignment. And we have assignments. God is speaking to us even through the miles, through the years, through the decades, through the centuries, through the millennia, to make disciples. We don't realize how many people are not in church, are not watching church, could care less about church and the people in it. This morning, I was reading an article, again, Portland seems to be the epicenter of so many different things. But this particular time, power went off at a grocery store, and the people in the community, and they were throwing away good food, food that can be used, food that they were putting in the dumpster because the power went out in the store and they could no longer sell it. So they were putting it in the dumpster in the community, was coming to get the food to take to the homeless shelters as well as for use in their own homes. Do you realize these people call the police on those dumpster diving is what they call it. Now, understand, you can't sell the food, but you don't want people to get it? I mean, we're talking juices with expiration dates of March, meat, anything that a person can use to not go hungry, they would rather it lay in the garbage can and not be utilized to the point of calling the police. I want you to think that through. Garbage. Garbage. Calling the police because people are taking good food. I keep saying this, good food out of the garbage can. Wouldn't it have made more sense to call the shelters that had heat, to call shelters that needed food and say, hey, our electricity went out. We have a lot of good food that we're going to have to throw away. Would you come and get it? Would that have made more sense than calling the police to come and keep people out of the dumpsters so that the food wouldn't go to waste and become trash and not edible? We're talking milk that people can use for their children. Again, milk that people can use for their children. We're talking all the needs of the people of the community. And a lot of the people that were going into these dumpsters to get food for those that are shut in, those at the shelters again, the heating centers, they were getting food for them. But you chose to throw good food away, not allow people to get it, instead of just picking up a phone and calling a warming center, calling a shelter and saying, hey, our electricity went off. We have all this food we have to get rid of. Would you guys come and get it? Because we know you have people there and you can use it. Bam, it's done. It's a charitable deduction as well, because you've given to a charity. But instead of that, instead, we were going to just throw it in the trash. The trash. Why? Because we don't want anybody else to have it. What happened to when I was hungry, you fed me? Everyone will be judged by Jesus one day. And believe me, whoever made a decision to throw good food away, not give it to a shelter, not give it to a warming center, and to call the police on the community that needed it and was getting it. And, oh, wait, your customers. Disciples, absolutely not. But what you were making is people that will not shop at your store, and you will probably go out of business. Why? Because of being selfish and not thinking about others. All God wants from us is to love each other as we love ourselves. If you were hungry, wouldn't you want somebody to give you the food that they want to just throw away, but that's still good food? That really bothered my spirit this morning. And God said, I'm not saying God said, but I felt in my spirit that I needed to share that we have got to have compassion, especially in times like these when the weather is so crazy and unpredictable. So crazy and unpredictable. We got to love each other. But throwing food away, that's good food, makes no sense when there's somebody that can use it. If it's bad, that's one thing. Moldy, one thing. Out of date, one thing. But good food, throw it away, because it's a perishable item and you have no electricity. But maybe somebody does have electricity and could use it. But mainly, my whole thing was, why didn't you call the warming centers and the shelters and the food banks to come and get the food? That's all. That's all I had on that. But just something to think about in your day, that we as a nation have become so self-centered. It's not about you. It's all about me. What I want, I will take from you because I want it, because I believe it. So your opinion and what your needs are, it doesn't matter. Something as a nation we need to think about. We have become so very self-centered, so very it's about me. We cancel each other out because we disagree. We treat each other horribly and think it's all right. And I'm not talking the world. I'm talking people of God. I'm talking folks that claim to be lovers of Jesus, that say they're Christians, but they're the first to counsel somebody else. Well, they said, being held against people, things being held against people that happened 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We need to get out of it. I'm not the same today as I was yesterday. I'm not the same as I was 10 years ago. I'm not the same as I was 20, 30 years ago. We grow up. We're different. And we got to quit holding things against people that they did in their youth, that they did in their 20s and 30s. That's what salvation is. We are saved by our testimony, disciples, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's our job. That's what we need to do. That's what we must do. And we're going to get in our word this morning. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you today, believing, trusting, and knowing that all things work for our good because we trust and believe in you. Lord God, I ask you to continue guiding us as people of God to do what is right, to help each other, to love each other, to give each other a shoulder to cry on, to give each other food when we're hungry, shelter when we need it, and love above all things. Help each other, Lord God, as you love us. Folk, by our testimony, by our love, we show others who you are. Thus, we make disciples. Help us, Lord, to do what you have called us to do, to be bold, to be loving, to be kind, to be gentle, to have compassion for each other. Because love is patient and love is kind. And Lord, help us to be patient and kind to each other. Give us the absolute bullies and say you're not right. Stand up and speak out and quit being afraid. For Lord, to walk in fear is not to believe in you. Father God, I thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. For you, oh God, woke me up this morning with a heart ready to receive whatever you give me in this word. Lord, speak through me, your Holy Spirit. Use me to speak to your people today. In Jesus' name. I lift up, give you honor, glory, and praise, Father God. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. For I, again, cannot do this. I would be still asleep if it wasn't for the Lord waking me up this morning. I would still be asleep. My God. Me up, started me on my way, gave me food, this miraculous food of the Spirit, this word. So let's get into our breakfast this morning. Let's eat. Let's eat. And I tell you, it is a good breakfast. It's a good breakfast. Hallelujah. Let's get started. We are in the book of Leviticus, chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 30. And it says this: if a person sins in hearing the utterance of it and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the manner, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast, are the carcass of unclean livestock, are the carcass of unclean creeping things, and he is unaware of it, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanliness, whatever uncleanliness with which a man may be defiled, he is unaware of it when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a person swears, speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it is, that a man may pronounce by an oath, and he is unaware of it when he realizes it, and he shall be guilty in any of these manners. That's why you don't say, I swear this and I swear that. Don't be swearing. Telling the truth. Don't be swearing. Don't swear, because you have just made an oath. And if you are not telling the truth, you have just damned yourself. We cannot be swearing on things. I swear I'll pay you back. And then you don't pay them back. And you wonder why things are going on in your life. Because you made an oath that you knew you were not going to keep. You got to be careful making oaths. And then as we go on, it says, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty of any of these manners. And it shall be when he is guilty in any of these manners that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin, which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. If he is not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord for his trespass, which he has committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons, one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it completely. Then he will sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering, and he shall offer the second as a burnt offering according to the prescribed manner. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin, which he has committed, and shall be forgiven him. We are so blessed that all we have to do is pray. All we have to do is confess our sins to the Father through the Son, and we are forgiven. We don't have to find the turtle dove. We don't have to find two pigeons. We don't have to find an unblemished lamb, an unblemished ram. We don't have to do that to atone for our sins. All we have to do is confess and repent. And it goes on to tell us, but if he is not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he who sinned shall bring for his offering one-tenth of an ephod of flour, of fine flour, as a sin offering. He shall put no oil on it, nor shall he put frankincense on it, for it is the sin offering. Then he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take a handful of it as a memorial portion, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. It is a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for him for his sin, and he was committed that he has committed in any of these manners, and it shall be forgiven him. The rest shall be the priest as a grain offering. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flock with his valuation in shekels of silver according to the shekels of the sanctuary as a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regards to the holy things, and shall add one-fifth to it and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance in which he erred and did not know it. And it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Now you think about that. We are so blessed that we had Jesus go to the cross for our iniquity. to die. All these things that they are sin taking rams and lambs and turtle doves and pigeons for atonement. Our atonement was through the cross in Jesus Christ. We are blessed. We are blessed. Less beyond measure. We need to thank God every day for his son. Thank God every day that he loved us enough to give his son for our sins. Blessed. Did he bless in the field? We are blessed beyond measure for our Savior Jesus Christ. Leviticus 5:17, if a person sins, though he does not know it yet, he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Jesus bore our iniquity. Thank you, God, for sending your son. Guilt is real. It's not merely a feeling. Hardened sinners may feel no guilt, but in fact, they're great guilt. This is why we needed the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. And as we go into chapter 6 of Leviticus, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely, in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore its value, full value, add 1 cent more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish, from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespassed. Can't trespass against your neighbor. Can't trespass. Still there. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. We got to forgive. But we also are not supposed to be doing it. And it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen trousers, he shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them outside the altar. Then he shall take off his garment, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar, shall never go out. This is a law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering, which is oil, and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to the Lord. And the remainder of it Aaron and his sons shall eat with unleavened bread. It shall be eaten in a holy place in the court of the tabernacle meeting. They shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion of my offering made by fire. It is the most holy. Like the sin offering and the trespass offering, all the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. It shall be a stat in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to the Lord. Everyone who touches them must be holy. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to the Lord, beginning on the day when he is anointed, one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a daily grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it at night. It shall be made in a pan with oil. When it is mixed, you shall bring it in. The baked pieces of the grain offering you shall offer for a sweet aroma to the Lord. The priest from among his sons, who is anointed in his place, shall offer it. It is a statute forever to the Lord. It shall be wholly burned. For every grain offering for the priest shall be wholly burned. It shall not be eaten. Also the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it in a holy place. It shall be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of meeting. Everyone who touches its flesh, and when its blood is sprinkled on any garment, you shall wash that on which it was sprinkled in a holy place. But the earthen vessel in which it is boiled shall be broken. And if it is boiled in a bronze pan, it shall be both scourged and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests may eat it. It is most holy, but no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire. And some life lessons from a life lesson from Leviticus chapter 6, verse 5. All that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value, add one-fifth more to it. When we have defrauded our hearts someone, genuine repentance requires restitution. It is not enough to say, I'm sorry, or please forgive me. We are to put right what we have done wrong. Luke 19:8, and we're going to go over to Luke 19:8 real quick. Because how many people have, you know, just said, I'm sorry, when they know they've done you wrong, when they know that they've taken money from you or not paid their bills or not done what they're supposed to do, but, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't pay my rent and I owe you. I'm sorry that I stole from you. I'm sorry that I did whatever it may be. You know, I'm sorry I lied on you, but I didn't go back and clear up the lie. I didn't come and pay you restitution. I didn't do what I was supposed to do when I made an oath and said, I swear I'll do this. We got to be very, very careful what we do to other people, because then we wonder why we're going through, because you didn't do what was right. You didn't pay your tithes. You didn't help the poor. You didn't give somebody shelter that needed it. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. And you wonder why you're going through, because you didn't do right. God watches everything. Believe me, when I tell you, God knows the desires of your heart. God knows everything about you. From the rising of the sun to the setting down of the same, the Lord God knows all your everything. He knows when you made a nasty comment. He knows when you rolled your eyes at your mama. He knows everything about you. And this is what the word of God says in Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Whew. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Psalms 24, verses 1 through 6, and it says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand at his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord, salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Elah. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Occasionally, you may hear a teaching that claims this world is the legal property of Satan, obtained in the fall. Don't believe it. This world always has been and always will be God's. His hands, his sovereignty over it to no one. He hands his sovereignty over to no one. Can I say it one more time? He hands his sovereignty over to no one. Understand, Satan could not do anything on this planet without permission from God. When Job was attacked, when he went after Job, killed his children, did all the dirt he did, took his wealth, he could not have done it without permission. That's the thing. We need to, when you study the word, you know when a lie is a lie. And this world does not belong. Yes, we call him the God of the air, whatever. But he is not the God of this planet, the God of every planet. This throughout the whole entire universe, there's only one God, the creator of all of it. He has one son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he has given each of us a part of himself in the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is ignite it. Ignite that fire. And you know that the word of God is true. What did it say? The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the sea, upon the waters. We are God's. We are God's children. We belong to God. That's it. And the enemy cannot touch you unless it is allowed. His imps can't bother you unless it's allowed. And it's allowed to get your attention. It's allowed to get your attention. We got to pray. And mothers and fathers need to put their babies in church. They need to take their children to church. They need to go to Sunday school. They need to go to Bible study and to blogs like this one, where the word is being taught. The word is being taught, and people are learning. There are teachers out there all over. I even go and listen to other teachers because I don't know everything. I study, and I study a lot because I want to know, because I want to learn. Because I want to be better. I want to teach better. Our word is this word, God's word. And all we need to do is know it, love it, and listen. And don't harden your heart. Our Proverbs word is Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct the scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Understand, we see this. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct the scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man. A wise man will say, I did wrong, and I want to be better. For in a wicked man, they're going to come at you with everything in their arsenal of hate, of misinformation, of distrust. They will do everything in their power to try to make you look bad. They will talk about your mama. Come on now. We know this. There's just some people that the best thing to do is not to even put their name in your mouth. Let them be the other guy. Let them be the other girl. Let them be the boo-boos and them down the street. Stay away from folks like that. Don't get involved in mess. Just stay away from it. And our word for this morning is coming out of Matthew chapter 28. And it says this. You know, I just wanted to go over our song that, our theme song, Thank You, Israel, and again, in New Breed. Moving forward. And in moving forward, it says, you have risen with all power in your hands. You have given me a second chance. And that's our word for this morning. This is what the word of God says. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The guards shook, come on now, for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And that's just the truth. To this day, over 2,000 years later, many among the Jews believe that his body was stolen and that he didn't raise from the dead. And they're still waiting for the first coming of the Messiah. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, come on now, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I thank you, Jesus, for being with us. I thank you, Jesus, for this word this morning. I thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for each and every one of us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for your children. Matthew 28, 4 and 5, the guards shook for fear of him, but the angel answered the woman. The angel ignored the tough male guards. He even sat silently on the stone that covered the entrance to the tomb, but he did not speak to the startled women. God speaks to those who want. God speaks to those who want to listen. I'm ready to hear you, oh Lord. We got to pray that, Lord, speak to me. Matthew 28 and 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Jesus did exactly what he had reported. He had repeatedly said he would do. That is God's way always. we can count on his promises and build our lives on them, for he always does just what he says. God always does just what he says. Hallelujah. Blessed beyond measure. Matthew 28:18-19. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. We can confidently bring the truth of Jesus to the world because we have Jesus' divine authority to back it up. Our job is to be his faithful messengers. And that is what I'm doing. I'm being a faithful messenger. I am giving the word of God. Not my word, but God's word. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in answers to life's questions. Do I have a role to play in communicating God's truth to others? God never gives us anything to keep for ourselves, whether it's money, insight, or truth. He tells us to share it. Jesus told us to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things. And I have commanded you, Matthew 28:19-20. Just before he ascended to heaven, he told his disciples, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And they have been witnesses. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. And let's go back and Acts, the Pentecost. Come on now. When the spoken word was spoken in tongues, so all could hear and understand. And Paul, Mr. Pharisee himself, got beat down on the road to Damascus, blinded by the light. And then what did he do but go and write so many of the books of the New Testament? He went out to do what the assignment was. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Jesus was even with a sinner like Paul. And he's with sinners like us. And this is a word. It says, Paul admonished his young pupil Timothy to communicate the truth he had learned to others who would in turn pass it along. 2 Timothy 2:2. Elsewhere, he noted that we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. The sole purpose of ambassadors is to relay countries where they serve. We have an obligation to declare the divine plan and scriptural policies of our master, who is the Father God. Even each of us communicates something by what we say and don't say, by what we do and fail to do. A father who never reads the Bible states that he's smart enough to make his own decisions without input from God. The child who never sees her parents praying learns that trials and tribulations can be handled without any direction from the Lord. On the other hand, a father who tells his family, we are going to trust the Lord to provide us with what we need, declares that God can be trusted in every facet of life. And I'm a firm believer that we can trust God. We may think we're going through. We may think that God is not hearing us, but he is. He's going to give you what you need, and he's going to give it to you sooner than later. All he's asking of you is to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Mother Bowie spoke yesterday, that proverb word, and we got to believe it. We got to trust it. We got to know that God is listening. That he's not left you, that he's not forsaken you, that everything you need, he will provide. All you have to do is stop, listen, and trust in the Lord. And as we continue, it says this, even when we remain silent, we subtly state something. Although the Apostle Peter recognized the Gentiles as rightful recipients of God's grace, he developed the bad habit of withdrawing from them during meals. His fellow Jews soon picked up on his prideful practice, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away with Galatians 2 and 13. Without a word, Peter had effectively sent a message that the Gentiles were inferior. We must honestly evaluate our responses to God's communications. Are we deliberately and daily applying what God has taught us? Over the years, when we comprehend the truth, are we conforming ourselves to the image of Christ? Are we then communicating this truth to others? How do we treat our fellow men and women? Because we are Christians, we don't sit with the sinners. We don't welcome them into the church. We give them the look up and down because the pants might be a little tight, or the dress might be a little short, or the cleavage might be showing, so we're giving them the up and down look like they're not good enough. We're wrong. The word tells us we got to love everybody, person that is not saved, because our job is to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, Jesus told us, even to the end of ages. But we have to do our assignment. We can't act like somebody is inferior because they don't go to church. And I'm speaking this as the one on the outside, because there was a time I did not go to church. I tuned out. And I know now, at the time, you don't know what's going on, that it's an attack, because the enemy knows who's going to be powerful. He knows who are going to work for God. He knows all of our things before we know, but he wants to get you out of that ark of safety. He wants to get you out from where you get your word. He wants to get you out because he knows that if I can get you away from where I know that you're going to get built up, then I can tear you down. I never stop loving God. I never stop reading the word. Never stop being good and kind and honest and having the heart that God had given me. Just didn't go to church. But then there are folks that want to judge you. Because the first thing is, well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. What? You don't go to church? And then you're made to feel less than. Because maybe God didn't send you to the place that you need to go. But then God sent somebody into my life because he knew I missed him. I missed being in the house of God. I missed being in church. I missed taking my sons to church. I missed that. I did all the things wrong. And that's why I'm speaking to you today. Don't do what I did, not having your children in church, because it will show up later in life. Yes, they will know God because you put it in their hearts, but they will not know the camaraderie that comes with being in the house of God. That's where you make your oldest friends. That's where you get that love and that anointing is in the house of God. And we took that away from our sons. Yes, they were being taught at home. Yes, they were getting the word. Yes, all those things that they were supposed to have, they were getting, but not the company of saints. And neither were we. Because of our stiff necks, because we weren't doing right. We got to tell the truth and shame the devil, because the devil didn't want powerful people in the house of God, because he knows that if you're there doing your assignment, you're going to do it well. especially those that know the Lord. He wants to get them out. He wants them to stumble. He wants them to fall. How many pastors have fallen? Powerful pastors, saving souls, have fallen. Because the enemy is busy, busier by making disciples, by giving God absolute our best. But I thank God again for that young woman in my life that she looked at me and she said, "You're a Christian." And I'm like, "Yes, I am." "Well, where do you go to church?" "I don't go to church." "Why don't you go to church?" "I just haven't found the right one." "Well, you're going to my church." "Oh, I am." "Yes, you are. I'm inviting you to church. Would you please come to church with me? Because I know who you are. I know you are a Christian. I know you love the Lord. I see how you act. And I know you know the word. So you need to go to church with me." She didn't take no for an answer. I thought, who is this busybody child? But I went to church with her. And I never stopped going afterwards. And I thank God for that young woman who led me back into the house of God, into doing my assignment, which is to work for God. And even today, I see these children that I taught in children's church 15 years ago, 10 years ago, doing it and doing it well. And you can see the brightness and the love of God all over them. And so I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful for Jessica, who said, "You need to come to church." And to, that someone saw a path to who I was inside. So I thank God, and I thank God for each of you. Go out and do what our assignment is, to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus taught the disciples that have come down to us through his word. That's all I got this morning. If there's anyone that would like to speak, push the one on your phone and your line will be open. And we do not have a speaker this morning. I am going over to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and then I am going to work. I love you guys, and I thank God for you. And this is a word for this morning. Good morning. Don't let what people think or say. We are who God says we are. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Thank you, Sister Carolyn. Again, a word right there out of the word. We are who God says we are. And that's all we have to remember. You are who God says you are. Don't worry about what people think or say. We are who God says we are. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. Thank you for praying for our sister in Christ. She made it home safely. And we are wrapping it up. Thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done. Thank you for this magnificent word, Lord. And Lord, continue to guide us and lead us in all that we do, that we will remember that we are your children and you are our Father God. And I say, family, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. If you don't have to go out, stay home because it's cold outside. It is cold outside. Where I happen to live, it is 1 degree. I said that, 1 degree. A 1 degree, and it feels like it's 1 degree. So it is cold. And later on this morning, we got snow coming. And so I just say, if you can, stay home. You know, there's nothing out there that you need that you can't get delivered because somebody's out there delivering. But stay home and stay warm. And thank God next week we'll be getting back into the 30s and the 40s, and hopefully things will get back a little bit better. starting Saturday, it's supposed to start warming up a little bit, 18. But we won't be having these below zero temperatures, you know, not getting above 10, 12, 14 degrees. So I tell you, thank you so much, family. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Believe it or not, we've gone through our Old Testament and New Testament word. It is a wrap. Have a blessed day. I love you all. I appreciate you. It's a wrap officially this time. Be blessed.